Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until 10 o'clock tonight. Hope that you and yours are healthy and happy, hanging in there. You know, for thousands of high school athletes, this is the season that wasn't. All their hard work and achievements on and off the field were stolen away. But we've got you covered. 97.5 The Fanatic and ESPN want to award a local athlete an honorary ESPY Award. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com right now and nominate a local outstanding student athlete whose achievements were not rewarded. On Monday, June 15th, we will start the voting process to award a Philadelphia ESPN ESPY. The winner will be announced Friday, June 19th. Again, go to 97.5thefanatic.com to nominate someone. And for more details, the honorary ESPY Award is brought to you by Capital One. Tune into the ESPYs on Sunday, June 21st at 9 p.m. on ESPN. This is all presented by ESPN and 97.5 The Fanatic. So I saw, because speaking of unexpected circumstances, did you see this? That Michael Turk is getting to go back to NCAA football, the punter from Arizona State, after he got the special waiver from the NCAA. Did you see this, Tyler? I figured this would be something that would be up your alley.
No, I didn't. Was he, had he played 4 years or what? So, I didn't hear the story. So
I think he was a redshirt sophomore, actually.
Oh, okay.
Came out and declared for the NFL draft, signed with an agent, but was not selected or signed by any team. I don't know if you watched the combine or not, but he was the punter who put up 225 25 times.
Oh, okay.
He was like the yoked punter.
Yep, know who you're talking about now.
The school applied for a special waiver talking about the special circumstances of ASU's pro day being canceled, working against Turk because of the coronavirus and everything else, and also prevented them from having private workouts with teams. I'm assuming that there's a special consideration made here because Turk is a punter, and because typically speaking, punters are signed as undrafted free agents, aren't usually drafted in the NFL draft. I'm just assuming this. I don't know if that's for sure or not. The waiver was granted, and he goes back to ASU with 2 years of eligibility left. So there you go. The NCAA caving on a thing where they, in the past, it's easy to see them sitting back and being like, gotcha, should have thought better.
That's pretty amazing because, I mean, we've heard stories as recently as last season. I don't know if you remember this, but the player that wanted to transfer to move back home because somebody in his family was sick.
Yes.
And they denied it.
I remember.
But they're going to, and I get that it's extenuating circumstances because of the coronavirus and everything and your pro day being canceled, but how much is your pro day really going to affect your draft stock? Like, teams have watched your tape and probably had somebody at your game at some point, whether to watch you or a teammate, someone was there. He didn't even get, you know, UDFA'd. He just wasn't signed. That's amazing to me.
I thought the same thing. Now, here's the deal. Are you ready for Punter Battle 2020? Because Arizona State secured graduate transfer from Florida State Logan Tyler on May 14th when they found out that Turk is, you know, going to the NFL. Now there's a crowded punter room at Sun Devil Stadium. What are we going to do, Tyler?
It's got it totally under control out there. I totally trust the coaching staff to make the right decision.
Good job, Herm. I believe in Herm.
Oh, I do too. I think he's a good coach. I don't know if there needs to be a punter battle.
So I don't know how good this guy Turk is. I guess he was inconsistent at the combine and punting drills. Against Kent State, he went 49, 62, 64, 65, 75. So that was pretty good.
I will tell you this, because of the fact that Blake Gillikin is no longer a member of Penn State, if you don't want either of them, I think Penn State will take them.
Okay. All right.
So just PSA out to Herm Edwards out there. I know he's listening.
And James Franklin should be eyeing up that that punter battle and seeing what happens. All right. Do you think that means anything? Do you think that there is anything to this guy being granted his return to Arizona State given what happened, or is this really a one-off and that's why it was granted?
I would say if it were any position that was not punter or kicker, this would be significant. I don't believe, because it's a special teamer, that this is going to be a common theme.
Right.
I think that this was more along the lines of the NCAA probably looking at it and saying, you know, how much can he really impact? Like, if this were a quarterback specifically, they'd be like, no.
So you're looking at it that way.
Yeah.
How much can he impact the team if he returns?
Correct, yes.
Super interesting. I almost looked at it the other way, where you're looking at kickers and punters, and you're thinking, all right, well, he made the decision to go pro. What percentage of kickers and punters get drafted versus being signed after a workout or a pro day or something like that as an undrafted free agent, et cetera, et cetera? This kid never had a chance to begin with because all of this other stuff got canceled. Realizing now as I'm talking to you, that's a foolish way to look at it. The NCAA doesn't care about that. They just care about how the dude can impact the game.
Right. They don't care about anything except for the paycheck.
So interesting. All right. So there you go. I'd be curious to see whether something like this happens with a wide receiver or something happened with a running back.
That's what I mean. I don't think it would. I just think the positional value is so low. And I'm not saying that punters are, you know, useless. I know you don't like kickers, but I'm not saying that punters are useless. I'm just saying that the positional value is so much lower than that of a three down type positional player on either side of the ball that this may be just a one-time thing.
610-632-0975. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti at 97.5, The Fanatic. All right, so we talked as well about the ESPY Award. We'll tell you more about that in a little while. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Okay, let's throw the labor negotiations out the window. Understanding that that's the biggest part of the discussion, I understand. Indulge me here for a little bit. Because the truth is, if we look at it, in most realistic terms, does not look like anything good is going to come together between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, the Players Union. Throwing that out the window, the economics of it, what's the best outcome here for baseball? Like, what should they be targeting in terms of the, let's call it the health of the game perspective that we've been talking about, where they're kind of floating on a dangerous precipice here, where the start of your season, if all goes great, is going to be running against NBA and NFL playoffs, which are nicely ramping into the NFL season. You run the risk of getting trampled if nothing comes together really quickly. It leads itself then to thinking that at the very least, extended spring training or something like that should be starting now, should be starting like right away. If nothing else, I would think, Tyler, to get people ready for whenever things are going to start and to keep baseball on the national consciousness as opposed to being like, oh yeah, baseball's still a thing.
Right. I mean, you are legitimately talking about relevancy. You're not talking about, you know, are they going to place first or second? You're talking about the relevancy of a league that's been around since the 1800s. Your main priority at this point for baseball, and this is such a simplistic one line of thought, you know, first level type thinking.
Yeah.
It's literally play. Like, just play if you're Major League Baseball. The players obviously have their gripes and are right to have their concerns and complaints. If you're the league, I think you have to just play. Somehow, some way, just play.
And I think that that is absolutely the message. And the players should stand firm on this. The reason why is, and I hate using this language, but objectively speaking, if you're an owner and you're in it for the long haul, you can afford taking a bath here. You can afford to, like, oh, if we play 100 games, we're going to be losing money more games than we play. Understand that. Do you want people to care about baseball in 5 years or do you not? Like, you have to be playing the long game here if you're the owners. And for the players, you can be in it for the short term. You don't have to worry necessarily about saying, oh, well, you know, we'll make this up over the next 5 years and the next 6 years. No, no, no. I signed a contract. I got to get my contract. You know, you never know what happens. I blow out my arm. I blow out my knee, whatever. you know, injury grievances start to happen. No. We're not going to do that. So if you're the owners, that's almost the corner that you're painted back into, and now it's up to you to move. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
I doubt that it does, and that's why I lead back to so many times this league not playing this season. I think outside of those teams that we talked about earlier, the small market teams that are so stubborn to spend money, mm-hmm. you're going to get teams, the Yankees, the Cardinals, the Red Sox, the Phillies, I think even to an extent, are going to have to take a look at the big picture. Like you just mentioned, it's not about 2020.
Right.
It is about 2025, 2040, the existence of the league. If I'm an owner, I cannot jeopardize not only the team that I currently own, but, I mean, from a totally selfish reason, the lining of my pockets for the next 10, 15, 20 sure. years or however long I own this team, you have to almost take the loss in the short come.
Do you think that any part of that is a little overdramatic when you're talking about the future of the league? Like, do you think that the future of the league is threatened in the next 15 years or something like that if this were to happen?
I think it might be a little bit hyperbole, but I don't believe that it's terribly far off.
Okay.
You're not going to see the league go away. I don't believe that baseball will ever...
But fall out of yes. relevance is what we're discussing.
Right, to the point where I don't know if it's going to be on a level of MLS soccer and, like you mentioned earlier, the Arena League. I don't know if it's going to get to that point, but right. it's certainly going to get underneath.
Could it switch places with the NHL?
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's
absolutely,
the risk.
Absolutely.
And if that happens, when there are people calling the NHL a niche sport in the United States, that's a full-on disaster zone for Major League Baseball.
Baseball's a niche sport already in the United States.
Kind of is.
Do you think about, like, our parents' generation
mm-hmm.
had a love of the game?
Yeah, for sure.
Prior to that, the generation before that, baseball was it. I mean, that
right.
was the sport. Our generation, it's a nice sport. The generation behind us, I don't know how much they care.
You know what the massive sport that's taken a chunk out of everything's lacrosse. Like, there are so many people playing lacrosse now, younger, that sport. Now, I'm not saying that the pro leagues are going to surpass Major League Baseball or anything like that, but what I'm saying is that it is bleeding away from the base of people where it's like, oh, baseball is my first and only love, and I am a baseball kid through and through. There's another option out there
yeah.
now for kids.
And I'm not a lacrosse fan. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like the sport, but I understand its appeal. It's faster pace. There's for men's lacrosse, there's hitting.
Yes.
There is more action than in a typical baseball game. I understand why kids are moving farther away from baseball into lacrosse.
Especially as attention spans seem to be shrinking and shrinking. 610-632-0975. Relevant information as it is related to, well, pretty much everything. In the college sports arena, that is. Amy Stegerwald, who was who reports for WTOL 11 in Toledo, says, "Hey Falcons, just thought you'd want to know. BGSU, which is Bowling Green, officials tell me that the plan is to have students back on campus and in dorms this fall. Details are still being worked out and will be announced mid-June." Then she goes on to say, "Rockets, which is Toledo, I'm told your announcement is coming tomorrow." Wow. I don't know what I was expecting to read today, but that is massive. Also, in Ohio, entertainment venues can reopen June 10th as long as they're able to follow state guidelines. That's movie theaters, playgrounds, zoos, and more. So, that's Ohio State. That's all of the Ohio teams. But for the NFL at Cincinnati and Cleveland, you're seeing Ohio start to open up here a little bit. For Major League Baseball, that's Cleveland. like, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking that makes a lot of sense in terms of being a push towards reopening. Yeah, it really, when you look at everything that is played out in the last several weeks as it relates to coronavirus in particular, it appears that we're progressing toward some other resolutions, some sooner resolutions perhaps than we anticipated. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic, and at Tyler Zuli. Once again, the Twitter poll that we put up earlier in the show, how invested will you be in Major League Baseball games if they're going up against NHL and NBA playoffs and eventually the NFL season? Now, bear in mind, the Flyers were thought of as a cup contender when the season paused. Sixers thought of as a team that was built for the postseason. And obviously, all eyes are always on the Eagles. In Philadelphia, it's particularly relevant considering the fact that all of those teams are good, so I would think that that works against the Phillies. The three choices are not at all, a little, and a lot. Not at all is the leader in the clubhouse at almost 38%. A little is at 36.7%. I guess it's not in the clubhouse if there's two more hours to vote. And a lot is in last place at 25.5%. So based on our poll, that is the worst news that you could possibly get if you're Major League Baseball. Hopefully it's just because it's our little poll. But I don't think that is the way that things should be going for one of the four major sports in the United States. So Ohio's opening up a plan to have college sports, or I should say college students, back in dorms as well as being on campus. Obviously, you're seeing the stay-at-home order lifted here. Tom Wolf renewed the disaster designation or declaration in Pennsylvania. And the first times that those were declared was on March 6th. But Pennsylvania beginning to work its way back towards reopening slowly. Meanwhile, New Jersey, on the other hand, is one of those states that is not necessarily all that quick to reopen casinos, pools, gyms, that sort of thing, all set to stay closed so far. The state is not there yet on malls. The state hopes to raise the current limit of gatherings by July 6th, when in-person graduations would be allowed to resume. Pools, casinos, gyms, and fitness centers. And so far, no news on that. Museums have not yet reopened. And then indoor dining, still not a thing yet in New Jersey. So, in the Northeast Corridor, certainly things are happening a little bit more slowly than some of these other places. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club, with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. With the NBA and NHL set to resume fairly shortly, Major League Baseball, no end in sight for this. Where do you come down on it? What do you think of the return format, by the way, that got approved by the owners for the Philadelphia 76ers? And then, of course, we got to talk about this. There's an article on NBC Sports Philly about why the Flyers' outlook looks even better now than it did before. And it already looked pretty good for the orange and black. We'll get to that next. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. We do have wide open phone lines. You can hop aboard, share your thoughts on the restart to play being around the corner. Is it important to you? Would you like to see baseball back in any capacity? Do you have an asterisk with all these seasons kind of restarting the way that they are? It's been a weird 2020 when it comes to sports. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I just learned, and when I say just, I mean like in the last 3 seconds, that Group 9 is a thing on a plane. Did you know that? That boarding groups go down to 9? Did you know that?
So when my buddies and I went out to Vegas, we were group whatever was last.
Yeah.
But I don't think we got to 9.
9? That's...
I think they did letters, so I don't think it was 1 through 9. But I want to say we were group, like, F. Right. I'm going to go back and check my... I'll check my plane ticket for you.
So that'd be 6.
Yeah. That's... Not 9, you're like, they're strapping you to the wings.
That's what I mean. Like,
we're just going to duct tape you to the wing.
If you're in group 9, are you allowed on the plane? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're going to get... Oh, jeez. Brutal. I just learned this. I just learned that this exists. So for those Group 9 flyers out there, I feel for you. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler, you were otherwise occupied when the news came out of Ohio that Bowling Green expects to have students on campus and in dorms this upcoming fall. Toledo is expected to make some kind of announcement tomorrow. I would assume that's going to mirror the same kind of deal. Ohio is starting to see movie theaters and some of these other entertainment venues open. It leans right into the question that we asked at the beginning, which is this going to be something where, like, it's a fits and starts thing across states, or is it going to be trend setting, or how is it going to work? Because Ohio seems to be moving more closely to full speed ahead.
Right, and I think that I wonder now, I've been kind of trying to rack my brain about this, I wonder if it's more so going to be conference decisions when it comes to the college sports world. Because, you know, obviously you mentioned all of those schools are obviously in the state of Ohio.
Right.
But they all are in the MAC.
Yes.
So if you could get those states on board, plus Akron, plus Miami of Ohio... You're almost two-thirds of the way there to getting the MAC together.
Right.
I wonder if that's going to be a conference decision. Well, Buffalo seems to be the hard one.
That'd be tough. But getting students on campus is the big obstacle, right? Because if you don't get students on campus, if you're the NCAA or one of these conferences or whatever... It is incredibly difficult for you to say that you care a lick about student athlete safety and stuff like that if students aren't allowed back on campus, but you're saying that the student athletes are to compete in their like their fall sports and stuff like that. It's a really, really bad look. Oftentimes, you're seeing athletes be there earlier in the summer to begin with anyway than their student counterparts, or their non-athlete, I guess, counterparts for training camps and stuff like that. But, like, that is something that is fascinating to me when I look at it, and I think this is an obstacle that's being checked off somewhere. The question is, like, would the Big Ten play without Rutgers? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if, you know, the Atlantic 10 would play without St. Joseph's or without Fordham or something. I don't know. I don't know what the percentage breakdown's going to be, but that's at least a trend in the right direction if you're a fan of getting college sports back in the fall here.
Yeah, I think college is going to be way more hard to overcome than any kind of professional sport.
For sure.
Because professional sport doesn't need the backing of a university. The NFL doesn't need the backing of an entire university to go on top of the state that they already need. They just need to get the state's approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if college football can operate the same way the NFL can without fans and knowing that they have to get these kids back on campus.
That's a big thing, too. Elbow Shaferi, Brian, tweets in. It's always boggled my mind. Well, you had two tweets. I'll read the relevant one first. You know, the important one first, and then we'll get to the other one. It's always boggled my mind that people are in a rush to board a plane they'll be stuck on for hours. If the overhead compartments are full, they just check your bag for free. Nope.
That's exactly right. That happened to us both ways.
I'm on board with that, except the checking of the bag thing is the thing that gives me the cold sweats to begin with.
Oh, you want to have your bag as a carry-on.
I want it.
Okay.
I gotta have it.
Well, see, I often look at the plane situation a little bit differently. Because the way that I go about it is, if they check my bag, and I can check my bag for free.
Right.
If they lose my bag somewhere in transit, it's on them. Like,
oh,
now,
yeah.
Granted, going to the place is going to be very difficult, trying to wear the same clothes that I have on, you know, on me.
Yes.
For 4 days, 6 days, 8 days, whatever it is.
My concern, yes.
But I would imagine I should get some kind of compensation from it, whether it be an upgrade on my ride home, flight miles, you know, whatever.
$8 on flight food
beverage
voucher.
Right. Something. Something for my troubles.
There you go. I don't know, man. The beverage voucher is not good enough for me losing my cell phone charger.
Oh, see, you got to bring the charger with you.
That's why you
bring the backpack.
I get it.
The backpack is an essential flying item.
I don't bring a huge bag with me. That's what I mean. Like, if there's no space for my carry-on, like, if I don't know why it wouldn't be, because the space under the seat in front of me is supposed to be mine. But if they have to check my bag, I'm having heart palpitations, man. I'm freaking out about that.
That's why you got to fly those airlines to give you free checked bags everywhere.
See?
Makes
there
it easy.
There, it just makes it easy. I got to book through Tyler Air next time. I got to learn.
You do.
I
fly cheap, too.
Oh, do you?
My flights are cheap, not the flights that I pay for.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Brian also tweets in that he voted for not at all for Major League Baseball going up against the NHL and NBA playoffs and eventually the NFL season. And he said, not at all, but only because I'm really pessimistic about the team's stupid money built.
Okay, so it's a Phillies thing more so than a league thing.
That's what he said, yeah. It's fascinating.
I wonder if there's people that think, a lot more people that think like that.
Well,
because I'm pessimistic about this team, too.
I think it lends itself to what we were saying, that depending on what you think about the Sixers, you could have as many as all three of the other teams being threats in their respective leagues, where the Phillies are not a realistic threat
right.
to win anything big time, you know? So maybe that does play into it. We've long been a provincial city. We've been, you know, Philadelphia focused and looked here first, not necessarily been worried about what's going on nationally. Maybe that's it. Maybe if I'm going to be paying attention to the Flyers, who have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, and the Sixers, who are a team that's been built for the playoffs, and you've got Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles not that far removed, but getting further and further removed from a Super Bowl title. It's obvious that the Phillies come in last place in that threat pecking order.
I think
so maybe that's why.
I think that's probably pretty fair. And I bet you there are probably a lot of people like myself in different sporting aspects. So when I look at Major League Baseball, of course I'm a Phillies fan first, but like we've talked about, I enjoy the aspect of baseball so much and the competitive nature of the game that I'll watch any game, and I get excited when I get a chance to watch the Yankees play. I get excited when I get a chance to watch the Rays, and I always talk highly about the Rays. I love that team. I don't have any coalition with them. The word
right.
I'm trying to find is slipping my mind. Any
I don't know, kinship,
yeah,
rooting interest.
Coalition, like, yeah, sure, rooting interest. Coalition's probably not it.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that aspect. I imagine there's probably a lot of people that enjoy that same aspect with a different sport. Like, there were probably a lot of people that are NBA first that, while they're Sixers fans, for a long time were like, yeah, I just really revel in the chance to get to watch San Antonio play. I just really revel in the chance to watch the Heat play. You know what I mean? Because they're good teams, and you just like watching a good product. That's how I feel about the. That's why I'm in on baseball still.
I gotcha. That makes sense. Now, Brian is letting me know. Amateurs, LOL. They won't lose your bag because it's at the plane. They just need to throw it on. You have more faith in humanity than I do.
Yeah, you don't seem to trust the exchange from the cart to the tarmac.
I've seen too many movies. I think that's what it is. I've seen too many movies where something falls off or a wheel falls off of something or the bad guy's actually one of the baggage. I've just seen too much. Really, the answer is that I need to just turn the television off.
So you're really allowing, like, Die Hard Lethal Weapon
to
fix your mindset.
There it is. Also, you need a Ben Simmons man purse for stuff you need on the plane. That's definitely true. P.S. My rotisserie league disbanded just as I was getting the hang of it. Oh, that's tragic. You play a roto league?
I don't. No, I like the straight up. I'm also not a big fan of the daily fantasy.
Okay.
And I know that NFL fantasy football has pretty much become a daily thing, but it doesn't feel that way. I don't want to change my lineup every day.
Mm. Yeah.
I enjoyed NHL for a while. I like that aspect, but I'm not as knowledgeable about some of the deeper draft picks in the NHL as I would be the NFL or the MLB, and I'm just not a big fan of the daily game.
Fair enough. I understand. See, that's why I couldn't do fantasy baseball. Like, I get that you could set the roster for the week and stuff like that, but the information changes too much.
Right.
Now it's easier. You get notifications if your guy's out of the lineup unexpectedly or something like that, and usually you have time to change. But before that happened, there were so many times when I'd go to check, and I'm just like, come on, man, seriously? Coach's decision, late scratch, fell getting out of the shower, whatever it is. Come on, man.
The last time that I played fantasy baseball, I'll try to pull up this picture for you because I took a picture of it. It was so bad.
Okay.
I had a team that one day when it combined 2 for 33.
Whoa.
061 they hit. And I went, yep.
And you screenshotted it.
I went, yep, that's enough for me. I'm out. Don't need this anymore.
I am done.
Caption on Instagram. I wonder if my fantasy team knows that the more hits you have, the better. 2 for 33 is some Casper Wells numbers.
Whoa!
You remember the good old Casper Wells days?
Man, oh man, what a... You're taking me back. Love it. Wow.
Him and Mitch Walding.
All right, now you're losing everybody. You're losing everybody now with Mitch Walding. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Where do you come down on our Twitter poll, by the way, Tyler? Didn't ask you this.
Yeah, I think that I'm a little bit biased, so I would be in the middle. I think I'd be at a little because I would be obviously invested because I love baseball. But like we talked about earlier, I think the precedent is going to have to be set for playoff action first. So NBA and NHL action, playoff action is going to take a lot of my time up before a regular season Phillies game. I just can't totally eliminate baseball from my life if it comes back. I mean,
gotcha.
I need it so badly that I would watch it, but it wouldn't be priority number one.
Is any return acceptable? 50 games, 60 games, 70 games?
I think so. I think that, again, from a league standpoint, absolutely. From myself standpoint,
yeah.
I'll take anything I can get.
That's where I am too, man. I want baseball to come back. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We'll be back. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Together until 10 o'clock tonight. Tyler Zulli's producing. Your lifeline to climb aboard is 610-632-0975 as we're looking at the return to sports for the first time in a long time. Sports stuff to discuss as the NBA Board of Governors, by a wide margin, approves a return to play plan. Players expected to adopt that as well. Obviously, the NHL have been locked into their message as well. And like I said, before we get back to the phone, so Mike, sit tight, you'll be up first. The Flyers are looking even better than they were before in the 24-team format. On Thursday, which is today, it was announced that the playoffs are going to reseed after every round instead of bracket style. So the NHL and the Players Association also agreed that every round will feature a best of seven series following the qualifying round, which is best of five. So the reason that this is great for the Flyers is because right now they're in that fourth spot and they can only improve their standing. We already knew that. They can get to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and they can't fall any lower than fourth. We already knew that. That's good. However, what that means was kind of unclear. On paper, in a bracket format, the one seed would face the winner of 8-9 no matter what. Now the one seed will face the lowest remaining seed after the qualifying round, which is to say if Montreal beats Pittsburgh, then the Flyers, being the number one seed, if they are, would face Montreal instead of, in a bracket style, the fourth seeded team would be playing against the lowest seeded Canadiens, while the number one seed would face an 8 or a 9 seed. So we knew that the Flyers already gained more than anyone else by this playoff format being announced, and it gets even better for the Flyers. Now the only question is, and it's the question that we've been asking, are the Flyers going to be one of those teams that is hot and fast off the line, or are they going to need to like warm up through this round robin phase and then see what happens in the second round?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an uphill climb for them for sure, because when you look at, again, we've mentioned this so many times. When you talk about just the talent level of all four of those teams, they probably lack behind the other three. But who knows? They were playing inspired hockey before this the shutdown happened. Maybe they get right back at it and play more inspired hockey. You know, Vigneault's been an obvious, significant addition and improvement to the coaching staff. Who knows? Maybe they go on a run. I'm not super excited about their chances, but I'm not going to count them out.
I think that they're considered probably underdogs, but not heavy underdogs of the four seeds up there at the top.
Well, I don't think so. And again, it will come back to, can they carry momentum or not? But right. To me, I look at Boston as the superior team to everyone in the rest of the league, not just in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
Tampa Bay has probably the superior talent, but are they the superior team? I don't believe so. And then you look at Washington, who probably has maybe the best player in the Eastern Conference, but I don't know, have they underperformed according to expectations for this past season? It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
The Flyers could be a wild card, and you don't know what you're going to get. I'm not so sure they're that far behind Washington. I just think that they would be if you do it an objective talent search. They're probably fourth of those four.
I like them over the Lightning for sure, because the Lightning were really, really struggling when the season paused. Now, are they going to be able to jumpstart? Probably. The Lightning are always a team that start out pretty fast, but we'll see. But there you go. That was the Flyers news for you. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Northeast Philly's next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
First doing great.
First time call here. Long time listener.
Welcome aboard.
A little football here. I'm a big Bears fan, and I think Nick Foles' acquisition with Trubisky there. Do you think that Nick Foles will start the season?
I anticipate that he's definitely going to start the season. What do you think? What have you seen as you've been looking at stuff?
I mean, they have a great defense, you know, for the last couple of years, and everyone's thinking a competition. You beat ESPN Live and NFL, and I think Foles should start the season.
I think he's definitely going to start the season. I don't think that you bring in Nick Foles unless you don't want Mitchell Trubisky starting any more games.
I don't think there's even a competition there. I mean, what do you think? he has no chance to start the season.
Yeah, Mike, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I don't think so. I think that, first of all, you know, and I'm sorry to say, Mike, I don't think that the Bears are going to be very good regardless of who the quarterback is. Like, I don't know how much of a difference Nick Foles even makes over Mitchell Trubisky. But I think based on what you've seen in their careers, Foles is definitely better. Now, the question is, are like the pundits who are picking the Bears to go, you know, 6-10 or 7-9 or something like that, you know, are they right? Because there's always a team every year that somebody gets completely wrong, whether it's overvaluing or undervaluing, usually involving the Browns. But that is, with the Bears, you're in a tough division. You've got quarterback uncertainty. Is the Bears situation way better for Nick Foles than the Jacksonville situation was? When coming back from the injury, he still couldn't beat out Gardner Minshew on a consistent basis to win that job? I don't know. I think the Bears situation is probably inferior.
I think the NFC North is a weird division this year because there are people like myself who think the Bears and Lions are both atrocious football teams. And then there's people that I've seen who think that the Lions could be a sneaky playoff team if Stafford stays healthy for 16 games.
Right.
I don't know how good Green Bay actually is because we all talked about how they were 13-3 last year. Were they really that good? I don't know. And how good are the Vikings? They lose three corners in one season. I don't know how good or bad any of those teams are. Like, that division is going to be really difficult to predict. And I wouldn't be shocked if, much like the AFC East, and probably the NFC East, there are three teams within two games of each other.
Right.
Or three games of each other.
Yeah, where it's all super tight. I agree.
You know, a 10-6, a 9-7, and a 7-9, something along those lines.
I could see that. Now, when I'm looking at it, I am no Mitchell Trubisky fan. I don't despise him as much as our good friend Pat Callahan does, but I've just found him to be unremarkable as a quarterback. I don't think that he has a prayer of beating out Foles, and if it's an open quarterback competition, Foles will win it.
Like, I don't believe that you bring in a trade. You go make a trade for that contract to bring in a veteran quarterback and not have him start in terms of Nick Foles.
Well, let's talk it out. What would a Mitchell Trubisky fan say that Nick Foles is there for? Why would he say that Nick Foles is there?
To push Trubisky.
To push him, to teach him, good guy in the room, right?
Right.
All that gets thrown out when they're paying Chase Daniel $10 million. Chase Daniel's already doing that. There's no way. There's no way that you bring in Nick Foles when you already have Chase Daniel for the bag, that you're bringing in Foles for any other reason than to start.
That has got to be the most expensive quarterback room in the country.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Even with Trubisky on the rookie deal, he's still making number two pick money.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean what it did when Sam Bradford went number one, but it's still a lot of money.
And then Chase Daniel making the bag. Let's see. He's $24 million guaranteed. Daniel's guaranteed close to 10. Man, oh man. Who's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? Is it Roethlisberger this year? Can't remember. Breeze? I gotta see who it is just for this season. I know Russell Wilson's way up there too. All right, so it's Wilson, Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, Rodgers, Cousins for 2020. However, that's $30 million in those two guys, not even counting whatever Trubisky's making. It's big-time money in that quarterback.
Can you imagine paying your third-string quarterback $10 million? Because, I mean, that's what Chase Daniel is. And I don't think they can get any trade value for him.
Do you think that he would, if Trubisky loses a quarterback battle to Foles, that he would become the third quarterback?
I would not be surprised if Trubisky loses a quarterback battle to Foles that they look to trade him.
I think so, too. I think they should definitely do that.
Because they're going to have to do anything they can to get any kind of return value for a guy mm-hmm. that we know they're not picking up the fifth-year option on.
And also, like, I might just be in denial, which is possible. I still can't believe that New England is going into this season with what they have at quarterback. Like, I still don't believe it.
You have to assume that Stidham is is he the unquestioned starter?
No, I think they like Hoyer.
I think they do too, but how do you ride into a season with Brian Hoyer in a quarterback competition?
I mean, Newton's still out there, right? There's still potentially a trade out there, maybe. I don't like Trubisky over any of those options.
I mean, I've said it before. I will continue to say it. I will trust that the Patriots are choosing Jarrett Stidham as their starting quarterback the day that he trots out for week one for their first offensive play. Right. I don't even know. You might have to take a snap. You might be right. They might have him as decoy for play one. Right. Who knows? The Patriots take a timeout right away.
Yeah, be like, no, no, no. This isn't going to work. Jarrett, no. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.